is TechSense Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network, and by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into this week's edition of Texans Huddle. We have a great 30 minutes in store for you, focusing primarily around this weekend's rookie minicamp. We've got it covered from top to bottom, including analysis from the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, and defensive coordinator Wade Phillips. Also, our very own Nick Scherfield had a chance to sit down with director of scouting Mike McCagnan, and we'll take you out to J.J. Watt's celebrity softball tournament. But first up, as promised, let's check out the rookie minicamp.
You know, I was impressed. I really was. I think we've, the scouts and Rick have assembled a really heck of a group of guys that, you know, that have a chance to play in this league. And, I mean, you look at all of them. They all moved around good. They all kind of picked up what we did pretty quick. So we got a lot of spots to fill from the standpoint of young guys helping our football team this year. So it gives us a three-day head start.
I just want to come out and fight for a position and anything I can do to help this team win championship.
It felt great just to put on the helmet. You know, I've been doing a bunch of talking. I felt like, you know, a president almost, you know, being up on podiums and talking. But it felt great coming out here just being able to do what I love.
It's football. Once it's football, man, I'm comfortable. There's no jitterbugs, nervousness, or nothing, man. I'm a football player, man, and I'm, you know, I'm here to play football.
A lot of speed, it's a lot of talent, and I feel like we got a great group of guys in here right now, and everybody hungry, a great staff, and I feel like we got a great group going in.
You look at those 9 draft choices, you know, they come in, so you're kind of looking at them initially, but, you know, I thought we got a heck of a group. Our scouts put together a heck of a group of free agents, and tryout kids, it's very important to them. So
the focus that the coaching staff had and all the guys, you know, they had that focus, you know, that everybody's has the same goal, and that's to win a championship.
Kind of have a moment out here where it was like, okay, your first deal out here at the NFL, you're playing. Did you have that moment where, oh, my God, I'm doing it?
Yeah, when we started warming up, you know, it wasn't an easy warm-up. You know, guys out there, like, huffing and puffing, you know, like, man, this is kind of harder than the college warm-up than what we used to. And, you know, that kind of kicked in from as soon as we kind of got up there and started warming up that, you know, this is the NFL. It's serious.
You know, I put on the helmet yesterday, actually. It was like, you know, I'm in the NFL now. It's time to work. You know, it's time to step up my game. And I'm blessed to be out here, and I'm ready for this next practice.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll sit down with defensive coordinator Wade Phillips. Stay with us.
This portion of Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, defensive coordinator Wade Phillips. We've been talking a lot about the rookie camp. What kind of stood out for you? What impressed you most, or what did you see?
First, the enthusiasm. You know, I think they're excited about playing, excited about being with the Texans, and you know, they were excited about it, and I liked their enthusiasm.
Individually, I heard you talking about a couple of the guys, and DJ Swearinger, someone that really kind of stuck out and impressed you.
Yeah, he was very impressive. He's an excellent athlete. You know, we saw all those things on tape and looking at him at the combine, all those things. But once you see him on the field, how quickly he can move, and also his anticipation of things was very good.
You know, when you watch these guys on tape or when they're coming in and you've drafted these kids, how much of a sense? I mean, Brian Cushing kind of told us that, you know, talking about you kind of know exactly where you expect these guys to be, what you expect from them right away, and you know, when you're drafting them versus having to sort of look at them once they're here.
Well, we have a feel for the players overall, you know, what we expect from them. But I see, you know, we looked a lot on, you know, a lot of them, we looked at all their junior and senior film, or, you know, at least 2 years on them, and we have the scouting reports, so a pretty good feel for them going in, and how they fit athletically in our scheme.
Well, what can you tell us about your linebacking situation? I mean, you basically said this is the best group of linebackers you've seen since you've been here. You've got depth, you've got some rookie guys, some guys that are going to kind of be moving around. Can you sort of give us an overview of what you sort of see there?
Yeah, we just have a good class. Even our free agents, I think we runs right through. We've got guys that are linebacker types. I mean, they fit the outside backers are tall, athletic guys. Their inside guys look like inside linebackers that move well. So I think this is going to be a good group.
Brian Cushing, obviously, kind of working his way back from his injury. How helpful do you see him, not only to this team, but to these young guys, sort of taking them under his wing and kind of being a leader back there?
He is a leader. He's a leader by action. I mean, he plays tremendously hard. When we first came in, we used him as an example because of the way he plays. We asked everybody to play as hard as he plays, and we would have a good defense, and that happened. So, but he's an outstanding player from the football standpoint, but he is an outstanding leader, and I think his guidance will help a lot of the guys.
We haven't talked to you really since the Ed Reed acquisition. Just your thoughts on him back there, and then how much does this injury concern you?
Well, Ed's obviously a great player, and that's going to help you, number one. Anytime you get a great player, as we lost a great player during the year in Cushing last year, it affects you, you know. So when you add a great player, having Cushing back and then also having Ed Reed should help us.
Thanks, Coach. Great stuff as always. And as we mentioned, Wade, a great evaluator of talent, but this coaching staff can't do it on their own. To bring in new batches of talent each year, they rely heavily on their scouts to make the smartest decision possible. This week in our Houston Community College Smart Decision segment, our Nick Scherfield sat down with Director of College Scouting Mike McCagnan to discuss the process the Texans use to make those all-important personnel decisions.
This is Nick Scherfield here at Reliance Stadium with Texans Director of College Scouting Mike McCagnan. Very happy to be joined by Mike a couple weeks after the draft here. Mike, you've been with the team since the start in 2000, Director of College Scouting since 2011. As you look at this draft class, nine players that the team added, what are some of your overall impressions of the class?
Well, overall, I do like this class. It's always a little different when you're picking later in the round. You never really know who's going to either be there or who you may want to go up and chase. But I kind of felt the way the draft sort of worked out, players that we liked and were more or less the best rated players on the board were kind of available at certain spots in the draft that also corresponded to needs that we had, although we didn't necessarily factor in the needs into our picks. But we actually felt we got good value for the picks we did have in terms of players we got.
Let's get a little background on how the scouting process worked. When did the scouting process start for the 2013 draft class?
Well, like what we do is basically the same thing everybody else does. We actually spent about a year in advance working on the actual draft class. So literally from the end of April when the draft happens to about 3 weeks later, we get, the list of next year's prospects, and then we go forward and start evaluating those players literally about 11 months until the draft.
Well, we've seen a lot of success in the drafts in recent years here with the Texans. And are there certain fundamentals, key characteristics and traits that you sort of look for and identify in prospects that you see that the team has drafted throughout the years?
Yeah, I think what we've done a nice job with, and over the years, is we've been very consistent. That's kind of, Rick has always sort of stressed that in our processes to make sure we are diligent in how we do our jobs and how we evaluate every prospect. When you look at a player, different players that for different positions, you're going to like certain attributes or qualities of a player from a skill standpoint. But at its core, and Rick always stresses this in our process, is that we definitely want good character guys that have a passion for football, that are tough and, in terms of their mentality and hardworking, but just good core values. And I think when you combine that with players that have the physical ability to play the game, and ideally you can sort of draft those players, it builds a real good foundation for the chemistry of your team. When they have the skill set to actually play the game well, too.
It's going to be fun to see how all these guys develop. Now it's time to get started on 2014, right?
Yes. We are literally in about 2 weeks going to get the list for next year's guys and start looking at them and give that prospect list to our scouts, and they will literally start watching tape and start figuring out the guys for next year's draft 11 months away.
Well, Mike McCagnan, Texas Director of College Scouting, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Nick.
This portion of Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
And joining me now, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. A lot going on this weekend with the rookie camp. I know you were out there each and every day. What impressed you the most?
DeAndre Hopkins, Patty. I thought he was amazing. You know, it's only rookie camp. He's out there with a lot of other rookies, that kind of thing. But he catches everything that's thrown in his general direction. He does find a way to get open. Really crisp route runner. And I'll flash back here, Patty. 10 years ago, I was at Andre Johnson's rookie camp. He was catching passes from Dave Ragone at the time. Remember him? And Andre was having a tough time. He dropped a few balls. He admitted that he had a major adjustment to make to get to the NFL. For whatever it's worth, Hopkins had a better rookie camp than Andre Johnson did 10 years ago. No one is saying Hopkins is Andre Johnson. But, Patty, I don't think it's going to be long till we recognize Hopkins as the second-best wide receiver in Texans history. Give him a year or two, and he'll be right there.
Yeah, he looked so comfortable out there. He spoke with us, the rest of the media, very comfortable in that aspect as well. Said he had spent a little time talking to Andre Johnson. Just sort of your thoughts on how he is going to sort of fit in that role as that number two guy.
He presents a big target because he can catch everything, like I said. He caught a ball that was behind him, reeled it in. He was able to break away from defenders, make plays. Matt Schaub is going to find him as not only a playmaker, but also somewhat of a security blanket, third down kind of guy as well. So he can play possession. He can break big plays for you. And to have him on the same field at the same time as Andre Johnson is going to be a huge plus for this offense.
Another guy who looked good out there, and he's got a history with DeAndre Hopkins, is DJ Swearinger. Just your thoughts on him.
Yeah, Swearinger, another South Carolina guy from the state of South Carolina. Hopkins, of course, from Clemson. Swearinger looked the part. You know, he looked like a number one draft choice out there. He was picked in the second round, of course. Had a great pick on Saturday off Case Keenum. I thought that, you know, he had the ability to play outside of whatever area he was covering. Great field vision for a safety. That's what you want to see. Looks like he could play up close to the line of scrimmage. And he displayed the ball skills you want to see for a guy who's going to play back and be more of a free safety. The Texans like their safeties to be interchangeable. He'll fit right in.
You mentioned Case Keenum. Obviously, he's not a rookie, but he was out there at rookie camp this weekend. Really impressive. Looks like he, maybe because he knew the system, maybe because he was a little bit more comfortable, but he really showed, I think, everybody a lot this weekend.
Well, he's been in the system, as you said. Took the snaps from center in practice on the practice squad last year and had tremendous command of the huddle this weekend at the rookie camp. You know, he shows leadership, looks really comfortable out there, throwing the football well, making plays off schedule. And Gary Kubiak said this. I'm not saying it. He said it. He is fixing to be competitive with Matt and TJ. Whatever that means, I'm not sure at this point, but it looks like Case Keenum has jumped a tremendous stage here going into year two, and I think he'll be in the mix for the backup quarterback job.
All right, the running back situation, a lot of questions there. What can you update us?
You know, it's hard to tell. They have four guys in there, plus Deji Karim, who actually ran a kickoff back against the Texans for the Colts last year. So it's funny how this happens in your division. Guys who kill you, you end up bringing them in for a tryout. So he's a veteran. The other four guys, undrafted rookies, and you really like Dennis Johnson out of Arkansas, Sierre Wood from Notre Dame. The other two players look good as well. It's hard to tell in this situation because nobody's tackling anybody, but they moved well. They all showed that one-cut ability that the Texans look for, and you have to like this organization's chances of finding at least one serviceable back out of this group that they had in over the weekend.
All right, great stuff at rookie camp. Mark and I will be on the road next week at the NFL owners meetings.
Yes.
Doing the show from Boston.
Hopefully with happy news about a Super Bowl.
I was just going to say, give us a little insight of what the fans can expect on that show.
Well, we're going to have Bob McNair on. We're hopefully going to have good news about the Super Bowl coming to Houston. You know, Miami, even though they're not going to vote on stadium improvements, they're still in the mix because they're Miami. They have sun and blue water and history. Remember, the biggest and best Super Bowl, I don't know if it's the best, but most significant in NFL history with Namath beating the Colts, was played at the Orange Bowl. And Super Bowl 50, there might be a little bit of a temptation to give it to Miami for that reason. And then San Francisco would get 51. So now you're looking at a battle between Houston and the loser of Super Bowl 50 to get Super Bowl 51 in 2017. It's going to be interesting.
Yep, and we will have it in Boston. We'll see you there. Right now, let's check in with his partners, Drew and Nick, for this week's mailbag.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Facebook mailbag. My name is Drew Doherty with my good pal, Nick Scherfield. We're answering your questions from Facebook very, very simple. You send it in, and we will answer it, and really just about anything goes. All right, Patrick Chapa has this. Ben Tate's total yards last season took a big hit due to injuries and the emergence of Justin Forsett. You see the Texans trying to use him more this season to take some of the load off Arian. Well, I think they're definitely going to try and see more of Ben Tate than they did in 2012, because what you saw in 11 was outstanding. I mean, he had nearly 1,000 yards. He was very effective, a very nice complement to Arian Foster. So, yeah, you'll definitely see a little bit more of Ben Tate, at least by design.
Yeah, it was the most productive 1-2 running back tandem in the NFL in 2011. Ben Tate, 942 yards, more than 5 yards a carry. He was up there at the top of the NFL. This last season, I think, more than anything contributing to his drop-off in production were the injuries that he had. The hamstring injury that he had primarily kept him out for some time. But he's back. He's healthy. He's in a contract year. I think this will be a big year for him. And they don't have any veterans behind him. They signed Deji Kareem, who doesn't have a spot guaranteed on the roster just yet, but otherwise three undrafted rookie running backs behind there. I think the writing's on the wall for Ben Tate to have a very big season this year, to be a big contributor this season.
Hey, we're going to wrap things up with our good pal, Phil Romsky, who has this one. Drew and Nick, what type of game time is Jungle Boy Swag going to get? Jungle Boy Swag is obviously second-rounder DJ Swearinger. He's the safety from South Carolina, and I can't tell you exactly what sort of minutes he's going to get as a rookie, but I guarantee you, we're going to see him on the field at some point in some role helping out this defense, because this guy's very confident. He can hit. He's got an excellent college resume. And, you know, just in those 3 days at the rookie minicamp, you can see he's definitely got a bit of a leadership quality to him that is going to be fun to watch.
He plays with a lot of confidence, plays with a lot of swag, you might say. And we'll see exactly how much he plays on the field, but the Texans expect him to be their third safety coming in as a rookie, and essentially he'll be a starter in that role. Last year, their backup safety played about 50% of the snaps overall. Through the season, they play a lot of nickel and dime with three safeties on the field. That's, I think, the minimum expectation. He could play even more, you know, spell the veteran Ed Reed a little bit throughout the season. We'll see as things go along and how he plays. I think he's going to make a big impact right from the start, a guy who looks like he's ready to go right now.
You're always ready to go right now. We're always ready to answer your questions on the Friday Facebook mailbag. So, hey, don't be a stranger. Send them in, and we'll see you again next week.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network, and by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Now, we all know it takes a very special athlete to be an NFL football player, but perhaps what's even more entertaining is to watch these football players try to excel at another sport. Well, we got a chance to see that down at Constellation Field in Sugar Land, where J.J. Watt held his celebrity softball tournament. It was offense versus defense, and we were there.
And please welcome your host, number 99,
J.J. I need to thank my mom. She did above and beyond what any mom, any manager, anyone who runs the foundation, but she did an unbelievable amount of work for this, and she deserves so much credit for it, and she's unbelievable.
A lot of fun, great camaraderie, you know, just being around your teammates to do something like this. I was actually shocked about the crowd, you know, when I pulled up to the stadium. I didn't realize how many people would be here and we'd be playing in front of, but it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, and looking forward to it next year.
My teammates had my back the entire way. It was so cool to see them come off the bench like that. I don't know what Myers was trying to pull. I mean, I know he was upset. He could feel the comeback was starting to come. And by the way, I didn't see the scorecard, but I'm pretty sure the defense won that battle too. So. It was unbelievable. Couldn't have scripted it any better. Couldn't have asked for a better crowd, better players, a better product on the field. Over $300,000 raised for my foundation to help out the kids is going to be, it's going to change so many lives. It's going to make such a big impact. So I need to say thank you to the fans. Man, I don't know about everybody else, but it was a blast.
Definitely a great event. Everyone had a blast, and we'll have more on the softball game on some of our upcoming shows. But that's all the time we have for this week's show. Remember, next week we'll be coming to you from the NFL owners meetings in Boston. I'll be alongside Mark Vandermeer, hopefully bringing you the good news of a 2017 Super Bowl here in Houston. Have a great week, everyone.